From Santa Barbara, California, Timeless Voyager Radio with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers in the fields of environmental issues, alternative healthcare, new psychology, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio, and my guest today, Jordan Maxwell, author, lecturer of the ancient sciences. In the year 1959, Jordan Maxwell began what has become a lifelong work in the field of religio-political philosophy. He has lectured and taught privately for many years. He has recently appeared on a CBS two-hour television special, Ancient Mysteries of the Bible. He has also appeared on Larry King Live on Nation Cable. Welcome to the show, Jordan Maxwell.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Happy to be here.
All right, you have a lot to tell us. I guess you have spent a great deal of time investigating the beginnings of religion.
Yes. My life in this subject started back many, many years ago when I was just a little kid, because one of my family members was a member of the team at the Vatican and the Vatican Secretary of State's office. And on occasions, when he would come back to this country to visit the family, he would sit and talk for hours about all of the intrigue going on throughout the world. And so as a little kid, I was getting this kind of material in my head, hearing the fascinating subjects about secret societies and fraternal orders and their influence.
Interrupt for 1 second. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do not know very much about the Vatican.
Yes.
Maybe you could just give them an idea about this. And it is a country, isn't it?
Yes, it is a country. As a matter of fact, it's a very powerful country, politically speaking, because heads of state from all over the world come to the Vatican to pay homage to the papacy. The papacy plays a very, very important role in international politics, and it always has. But what's interesting is that a new development has been developing on the world stage in relation to the Vatican, that is, an occult Freemasonic order that goes by the name of P2, a Propaganda Due. It's made up of some of the most profoundly important right-wing fascist Freemasonic figures in Europe.
Sounds almost like our government at this point.
That's right.
I don't know why I say things like that. Okay, go ahead.
And, well, it's actually true, because the man who was the Grand Master of this Masonic order, Lucio Gelli, was invited by Ronald Reagan's campaign to appear at his inauguration. And there are pictures of Ronald Reagan with Lucio Gelli. And so Europe is a very small world, and so is America. There are many important connections between Europe and America, as we know. Let me explain something to you that you might find interesting, that we're hearing a lot about this new world order that the president keeps talking about. If you understand that Europe was the old world, and that America, of course, is being discovered, was called the new world. In the old world, it was dominated by the Vatican, and the Vatican dominated Europe. Europe dominated the world. It was said that the powers behind the Vatican was an order of Freemasonry. It was an occult order of Freemasonry operating from behind the scenes and thereby exercising influence over European politics. Now, that was an old order, like the order of the Masonic order or an order of priesthood. So an order is a fraternal order.
And you're actually saying that this group, this very small group of people,
right, a very
ran
small,
the show.
Yeah, from behind the scenes. with the Vatican out in front as the front organization. But there is
and
actually,
of course, representing religion would make it untouchable.
Absolutely, and of course, you wouldn't want to do anything to harm God's will on the earth. When you understand that the powers behind the throne, there has always been this knowledge of the powers behind great religious institutions. Well, the powers behind the Vatican throne in Europe for the past 1600 years has been referred to in circles as the Old World Order. It was the order of the Old World. And with the coming of the discovery of this country, we become known as the New World. And therefore, there is now a religio-political fraternal orders which dominate our country, and therefore, through us, dominate the world. And that is a New World Order. So when we hear the word order, we're talking about a fraternal order, like an order of priesthood or a Masonic order, and that this New World Order is operating out of our country.
We're talking about the New World Order, the Old World Order, and Vatican City of all things.
Yes. Well, what you have to remember, too, when we use the term religio-political, there's never been a religious movement ever in the world that didn't have a little politics in it. And there's never been a political movement that wasn't a little bit religious. And as a matter of fact, at one time in the ancient world, government was religion, and religion was government. Today in our modern world, we're not really aware of that. We think that things have always been the way they are in the United States, but not so. There is a profound connection between politics and religion even in our country. We ostensibly on the outside say that we have a separation of church and state. We do not. There is a very powerful connection between church and state. The armed forces of America hire chaplains, and they become officers in the military. Therefore, they are paid religious leaders to represent God for the government. And you have to remember that if you get married, you don't go before God with your marriage. You go before the state, and you get a license. Now, after you get a license from the state, then you can talk to God about marriage. And if your marriage doesn't work out, you don't go to God and talk to him about it. You go to the courts, because that's where the real power is at. And it's interesting, too, to draw the point out again that there is a connection between church and state. Just think about the church scene. Inside of a church is identical to a courtroom. You have the audience sitting out, the poor people sitting in the audience, and you have the
elite
gate, yeah, and then you have the gate, and then you have the little you have a fence with the gate opening in the church, and only the priest can go through that little gate onto the altar, and the altar is always raised higher than the floor that the parishioners are sitting on. And the reason for that is to show that they are higher. It is a higher power that you are looking to. And then, of course, the clergy comes out usually with a robe, a black robe in relation to the Catholic Church is a priest with the black robe. The black robe of the priest is the same black robe that a judge wears when he comes out before the audience. They are both officiating for God.
So we've got a lot of symbolism here, don't we?
Oh, yes. Profound symbolism. And it all means something. Symbols are like letters of the alphabet. You put them together and they spell a word, and you put enough of them together and you've got the story. And today we are so busy in our world that we really don't look around us and see all of the profound imagery around us. And it means something, like the Shell on the Shell Oil Company. The Shell is actually a rising sun. And if you just look at it, you will see the sun rising between the two triangles of Freemasonry. Let's see, Arco. Arco is the Masonic square, which goes back to Jason and the Argonauts. And, of course, if this is playing in different areas of the country, they may not know these symbols. But look at these emblems in the oil companies and cigarette packages and food items and car automobile emblems. They're all, you know, a classic example is the Chrysler.
But aren't there, and I don't mean to interrupt you on the Chrysler,
sorry,
but it has been said that these symbols, these ancient symbols, these are are deep within the collective conscious. So this is not just a mistake that they happen to be religious and also political and also at the same time advertising.
Oh, no.
Everyone's using the same symbols. There are only, probably a finite number of symbols that make any sense, and so everyone's going to use them.
Yes, that's right. However, if you understand that government politics is actually a business, it is a business that's been around for a long time. America is a business. America was founded as a business. As a corporation. In the original 13 colonies were not called colonies, they were called companies. That's why, of course, in corporate law, every corporation has to have a president and a vice president, and we have a president and a vice president of our corporation. This country is a business.
And, or at least it was.
Well, even in business, sometimes you cause yourself to show a loss or whatever. So there's much chicanery going on in both politics and religion.
So, all right, look, you've got to spell it out now. So are you saying there is no loss?
What was the question again, that there is no law?
You said loss. You said sometimes you show a loss when there isn't one.
Oh, well, no. Anytime you have a loss...
The point is that here's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Now I'm going to answer it. When you have a loss, just remember that there's just so much money out here, out in the world. And if someone's losing it, that means it's going somewhere. Therefore, someone is making it. So when you see a big stock market crash and everyone loses their money, somebody just made a lot of money, because all it amounts to is money has changed hands. And so that's what's happening today. Our country is in very bad economic straits because somebody's got all the money.
Now, who do you? I mean,
I'm
opinion?
Not even.
You have an opinion.
Oh yeah, I have an opinion, but I'm not going to express
You're
it
not
because
express
no,
it.
No. But I don't think I have to. I think we all understand that the golden rule: he who has the goal makes the rules. And so we understand that there is no real power in the hands of the people of this country. It hasn't been for a long time, if ever. We understand the political setup that we have in our country is identical to many in the ancient world.
All right, and of course, this is Timeless Voyager Radio. My guest today, Jordan Maxwell, and we are talking a great deal about, I guess, the background, the screen, so to speak, that the movie falls upon. So the movie is... Life is the way it looks, and basically we're finding out that there's something that this whole thing falls upon.
Right.
And namely, this is something behind the scenes, the puppeteer, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
All right?
Yeah.
Let's take some of the major religions and find out what's going on here.
Well, let me bring this out first. Even our motion pictures reflect an occult story. And they're telling you, see, motion pictures, the old magic practicing priest of the Celtics, the old ancient Celtic magic priest, had the magic wands. And the magic wands they used to dupe people or to work their magic on the people. Magic wands were always made out of holly wood. And consequently, our masters still use holly wood to manipulate our thinking and tell us stories, and there's a tremendous amount of symbolism in the motion pictures today. And a classic example I like to bring up is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And when you see Adolf Hitler looking for the Lost Ark with Indiana Jones, where are they looking for the Lost Ark? They're not looking in Jerusalem or the holy city. They're in Egypt. And I say that you cannot understand Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade unless you understand the First Crusade. So Adolf Hitler again plays a part in that with the Holy Grail. Excellent book to read on that subject is Holy Blood, Holy Grail by Bagent Lee and Lincoln, published in England. It's a fascinating subject when you see how...
You've brought up way too many things here. Now I'm going to stop you.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, let's go back to Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
All right. Why should they not be looking for it in Egypt?
Well, the Lost Ark, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and they're looking in Egypt for the Lost Ark. The reason why is because Steven Spielberg and George Lucas and people of that caliber understand the real story. The whole idea of an ark came from Egypt. It has to do with a very powerful occult symbol that was used in Egypt thousands of years before the Hebrews ever existed. There was such a thing as the Ark of the Law. And it was a box with two handles on it. It had the two winged angels on it, just as we are see pictured today, the Ark of the Covenant and the Hebrews. But thousands of years before the Hebrew nation ever existed, there was the Ark of the Law in Egypt. And that ark was symbolism for a very powerful force that Egypt was able to dominate the world with. And with the coming of Western man, the concepts and ideas coming out of Egypt were adopted by Western man, and the same magic is being used today. Such as in Washington, D.C., we see the obelisk. The obelisk sitting in front of the Capitol building is an Egyptian obelisk, meaning it's a very profound meaning, that obelisk. It sits in Washington, D.C. And on the back of the $1 bill is a pyramid with an all-seeing eye. The pyramids are in Egypt. Among esoteric circles today throughout the world, America is referred to as the New Egypt, the coming New Egypt. All of her political, religio, and philosophical systems originated in Egypt, but most people are not aware of that. There's some very important things going on that we have just not been told.
Okay, let's come back up now to, we were going to talk about Christianity. That was something that you felt was really important.
Yes, I do, and I don't know if we're going to have enough time, because usually it takes me hours when I get started on this. I did a four-hour lecture in San Francisco, and that didn't even begin to do justice to the subject. Mm-hmm. I have about a 50-page manuscript of that lecture, and I feel every page is very important, but basically what I'd like
well, hopefully you were not going to read it now.
No. But
I could feel all the listeners out there going, oh no, well, I'm going to go to another channel then.
No, there's so much to do. There's so much to say in relation to Christianity.
Well, first of all, let's make a statement, okay?
Okay.
The statement is this: we're not in any way knocking Christianity.
No, not at all. No, I'll say it myself. I am in no way finding fault with or knocking Christianity. I am saying, though, that the religious philosophy that we refer to as Christianity was, in fact, at one time already in existence. The basic theme of Christianity was already in existence in all of the ancient empires. It's interesting to note that a man hanging on the cross was never pictured by the first 400 years of Christianity. They never had a symbol or an emblem or a picture anywhere in Christianity of a man hanging on a cross. It was always pictured as a lamb or a sheep carrying a cross. It was not until the 6th century, at one of the great ecumenical councils, that it was decided that we should have a man hanging on the cross. And that's when the conceptual idea of a man on the cross was developed in the 6th century.
Are you stating that Jesus did not die on the cross, or are you stating that even though he died on the cross, they didn't use that symbol until later?
Good, I'm glad you picked up on that. I'm saying that there was a man named Jesus. He did not live. In fact, this is historical fact. And it does. I don't really care what you believe. I'm just giving you the historical facts. That there was a man named Jesus. His correct name in Hebrew was Yahushua ben Pitara. Yahushua ben Pitara, or Joshua, son of the panther. He lived approximately 100 years before the Jesus of the Bible would have lived. This man was a teacher of the Essenic religion. He was a very great teacher, a healer, etc. But a religion grew up in the empire, the Roman Empire, that we have come to know today as Christianity. I am saying that Christianity is, in fact, one more expression of a far more ancient religious philosophy that has all of the earmarks of being one more retelling of the story. That's why the Bible is referred to as the greatest story ever told. It's not the greatest collection of facts. It's the greatest story, in that it is a story that has been told for thousands and thousands of years. Even the Babylonians had their holy men come down from the holy mountain with the tablets of stone. And the great teacher, they had their messiahs who died on a cross and who died on the upright tree and who was buried and was born again after 3 days, etc. So
this doesn't lessen, this does not in any way lessen the story or take away from the information.
No, not at all.
This is no way saying that Jesus was not the Christ.
No,
What you are saying, though, is that the story may not necessarily be exactly what we think it is.
Yes, yes, that's very true. And that there is a history to religion that we are not often treated to, especially in America. We're fond of saying that we have the freedom to think and freedom of speech, etc. But that's true. We do have a freedom of speech up to a certain point. But there are certain things which are accepted as socially, we just don't talk about them. And many years ago, in my family, we used to say we don't talk about religion and politics. Politics and religion was off base. We don't talk about that. Now I know why. Now that I'm 52 years old, now I understand why. Because religion and politics are very volatile subjects because a lot of political and religious leaders do not want you talking about religion and politics. Because the more people talk about something, the more they investigate it, the more the subject is discussed, the more it comes out. I'm saying it's about time we do discuss religion and politics. I think there is a very important connection between the two, and I think it's about time we look at that connection.
All of this information has been hotly debated.
Mm-hmm.
It's been debated to the point where most people say, look, I don't care.
Right. Well, that's true.
Jesus is the Son of God, and that's who I'll pray to.
Right.
All right. What's wrong with that?
Okay. I see nothing wrong with the teachings of Christianity. In fact, I myself adhere and believe the teachings of Christianity to be basically a very fine fundamental concept. As to way to lead one's life. But you must understand that it is a story which has been retold and retold and retold. And so if you understand it correctly, and that which I would call correctly understanding Christianity, you would understand the basic principles which are being discussed, rather than hanging everything on just the story. Because reason and logic alone would tell you, you have to ask the questions like, did all of those people back in the Bible days when the Bible was being written go around with tape recorders or court stenographers and check every single word every prophet spoke or every character in the Bible spoke and what he did and where he went and what he said? Did they have tape recorders? How do we know that every single word, and it must be exactly that exact word, must coincide with this word, and this event coincides with that event? There's only one way you could get a book to coincide and fall in line completely as a beautiful whole story, is if it was written as a story. So that's what I'm saying. The Bible was written as a very beautiful story, if you understand that that's all it was, is a story. Now, there is some good history in the Bible. Just as today you can
buy... Wait, are you saying the Bible is not the Word of God?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to say that. I don't believe that it is the only divine book in the world.
Okay, I think we can buy that one.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, wanted to bring out something that's still stuck in my mind about the Steven Spielberg and George Lucas movies.
Good. I was going to get back to it.
Good. Okay, so I did it for you. If you remember that, one of the movies was called, now it slips my mind, The Empire Strikes Back, okay? The United States is the empire. New York is called the Empire State. If you understand that at one time, as I said, the world was dominated by the Vatican, the Vatican dominated Europe, and there was a world war. As a matter of fact, there's been two world wars between powerful secret societies vying for power on the earth. And one is the vying for power on the earth, and one is the new world order as opposed to the old world order. I believe that's why the world wars have been fought. That's why we're having skirmishes all over the world. I have two books right now in my collection that one was printed in 1969, one was like in 72, 73, talking about how Yugoslavia was going to be divided between the secret societies. They were going to go in and cause a lot of confusion and chaos and break up the status quo there purposely in relation to this new world order coming. So there's got to be some connections here with what's happening today when there are very knowledgeable people who have foretold these things to happen.
So you're really saying that nothing happens by happenstance, but this is all being orchestrated by some small group of people.
I think that in this world there are a lot of things that happen by chance, but I don't think the important things which matter politically are allowed to happen by chance. Keep in mind, when you hear government officials talk about crime and drugs and they can't seem to get a handle on the drug traffic and they can't seem to get a handle on the crime in the streets and they're just not able to really get a handle on these problems, just remember that 60 years ago, almost 60 years ago, the United States got a handle on Nazi Germany. It got a handle on the standing army of Adolf Hitler all over the world. They were able to get a handle on their enemy in the First World War when they were even less sophisticated. Today, they are not able to get a handle on crime and drugs or whatever. But if you decide to write a letter to the federal IRS and tell them you're not going to pay your income taxes, they will find you. Even if you go into the Amazon jungle, they'll find you if it costs them $1 million to find you, and they'll bring you back.
So what is your point on this?
So my point is that any crime that goes on or any drug trafficking going on, it's going on with the knowledge and with the consent.
Cooperation
of some very powerful people who, for whatever reason, it might be just to keep you frightened to death and keep you worried about the future so that you will accept anything that they give you, any kind of an idea they'll come up with. They have the power to shut down anything they want anytime they please. So if something is going on, it's going on with their help or they're allowing it to happen politically. And this is the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler told the people in Germany that in order to keep the crime off the street and all the trouble that was going on in the confusion, that all they'd have to do is elect him.
Folks, it's been quite a show. I hope that you haven't missed it. We are going to talk a little bit now about the Illuminati, or maybe a lot. Jordan?
Well, let me say for the audience that what I'm not saying is that the whole world is totally, totally control. But reason and logic alone dictate that the president and vice president and chairman of the board of General Motors do not get up each day and then over coffee try and decide what they want to do today or the Ford Motor Company or anyone else. These people are smart enough to know they have to plan 10 years, 20 years ahead of time and coordinate their plans with all the other industries in the world that supply the rubber, the glass, and the oil and everything else so that it is a very big business. Well, America is a very big business, and the world ship of state is a very big business. And if you're going to change the world in any way, you have to turn it around like you would an Exxon oil tanker. It's not easily done. You have to plan for it. Obviously, there are some very powerful people in this world behind the scenes who are wielding power. It's just a fact of our existence. But let me get back to this thing on the Illuminati. Something in relation to the Illuminati I think is interesting. Now, there may be listeners who are not aware of this subject of the Illuminati, but in 1774, there was a German Bavarian group referred to as the Bavarian Illuminati. They were a secret society of occult Freemasons, not the blue degree Freemasons that you have living next door, your grandfather, but these were occult Freemasons or an occult secret society. What is interesting is that their symbol was exactly the same symbol on the American dollar bill on the left-hand side of the back of the dollar bill. That can still be seen in Europe today on the original writings of the Order and Sect of the Illuminati on the outside page in the museum. You will see the pyramid with the Anuit Coeptus. If you have a dollar bill, a $1 bill, you'll see on the back of the dollar bill on the left-hand side above the pyramid is the word Anuit Coeptus. Anuit is Latin for our enterprise or our project, and coeptus means is now a success or has been crowned with success. So what it's saying, Anuit Coeptus, is our enterprise is now a success. And you say, well, that's fine. What enterprise are you talking about? Beneath the pyramid is Novas Ordo Seclorium. Novas is Latin for new, Ordo is for order, and Seclorium is for the world, Seclorium or secular. So the bottom of the pyramid, we have Novas Ordo Seclorium, the New World Order. Our enterprise is now a success. That's what our president is going around the world talking about today, is the New World Order. Why? Because he, like me, knows it's now a success. There are a few people in the world who haven't gotten in line with the New World Order, but they'll be dealt with accordingly. Any time a country goes to war, or is building up an animosity for a future war, we always picture, and all countries do, picture the coming enemy as a despot, as a murderer, you know, killing babies or whatever. You've got to generate that kind of furor in the people's minds so that it will justify your going to war with this terrible person.
So this is our media and our press fulfills this
need, an absolute need.
It used to be called propaganda. We don't hear that
word
anymore.
We don't call it that. We call it news. It's called the evening news. And, of course, we see these terrible, evil people. And then later on, we'll hear that the president has made some kind of an arrangement with that person and give him $50 billion of our money. And then you see them patting each other on the back and going to their local Masonic lodges together. And you come to find out this is a business. And, you know, yesterday this guy was our enemy, and today he's our friend. You know, today we're supporting him. It's happened.
So who's
before.
Being duped here?
We are. Just
the American
plain,
public is being
the American
duped.
Public, just a plain old ordinary American public, has been duped from day one, and they're continuing to allow it. And most people, like in the movie, what was it? There was a motion picture came out a few years ago called Network. And the network announcer said to the people that their general view of life was just leave me alone. I don't care about all of this. Just let me have my radio tires and my beer and television, and I'll be happy. And every day the powers of government keep moving in on you, every day, little by little, until one day you wake up and there is no more freedom. And that's exactly what's happening in our country today. People are
being
put to
sleep. Is there any freedom?
I don't think there is. I think, in my opinion, I believe that real freedom is in the mind, in the intellectual brain. That's where freedom is. And there's something to do with spirituality in the mind, which brings freedom. That's the one place, and the reason why I say that, that's the one place that government fears most is your mind, your thinking, your ability to be yourself, do your own thinking, call your own shots, and be your own man. That's exactly what governments do not want. They want
everyone. They just
want to
keep us busy, right?
Right.
Keep you busy. You need to pay your taxes, take care of your house and business. And
pay all your bills and worry about.
And when you get done, hopefully there's not enough time to think about it.
That's right. And then in case there is, they'll give you some entertainments, basketball, football, ping pong ball, baseball, or something. And entertainments or Disneyland or whatever. Just make sure there's a liquor store on every corner. There's plenty of drugs, plenty of entertainment, and a little sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and that will keep the people happy, keep them occupied so they stay out of the way.
Now, of course, everybody will say it's their inalienable right to be able to do this.
Oh, sure, and I don't mind. I'm not saying that, but all I'm saying is it would behoove you to get an education. Read. Go out and go to the library and read something about the occult world of politics and religion, how we are manipulated. And I could give you quite literally hundreds of very interesting volumes to read on the subject.
Jordan Maxwell is my guest. We are talking about a lot of things. We're going to come back and talk now about the Illuminati. What are they? What is their purpose? What do they do?
All right.
Do they exist?
Well, yes, they do exist. And they do exist as strongly today as they ever have. Many people who have heard the term Illuminati probably have heard it in relation to the Bavarian Illuminati, founded in 1776 on May Day in southern Germany. But at the point of fact, the Jesuits were referred to as the Illuminati at one time, and they are involved in some very profoundly occult stuff, Illuminized Freemasonic political movements throughout the world. But there has been, throughout history, many organizations and movements, religious, political movements, referred to as Illuminati. So the Bavarian Illuminati was not the first, nor is it the last. However, there is a much bigger game today. The stakes are much higher. So while Europe was in the grip of this Bavarian Illuminati in the 17 and 1800s, killing heads of state and kings and manipulating political power, this Bavarian Illuminati, today the entire world is in the hands of secret societies and powerful fraternal orders. We see the Chinese societies, the Oriental societies, the South American societies, fraternal orders. What is interesting is that so many of them are connected behind the scenes. They operate, orchestrate their operations throughout the world behind the scenes. Our emblems of power in this country are profoundly important. Like, as I said, the United States Great Seal has 13 stars over the eagle. Now, on the right-hand side of the back of a dollar bill, you'll see the Great Seal of America. It is filled with occult meaning. The eagle, coming from the old concept of the phoenix. Above the eagle, you will see 13 stars. The 13 stars are arranged in the configuration of the Star of David, or the hexagram. The reason for the 13 stars, of course, most people think it's because of the 13 colonies. Why did they have to have 13 colonies? Why couldn't they have 27 colonies, or 110, or 4? They had to have 13 colonies because 13 was a very profound Masonic number, and such. And so many of the founders of this country were Freemasons and Rosicrucians. They knew what they were doing when they divided this country into 13 colonies. And incidentally, you know where the 13 comes from. 13 comes from, it's not an unlucky number, it's an unlucky number for you. The 13 comes from Jesus and his 12. That's the point. The point was is that the 12 apostles were the cornerstones of the new order. And Jesus was referred to as the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. Twice in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone is a Greek word which means the peak of a pyramid. And that's why there is a little pyramid on top of the big pyramid on the left-hand side of the back of the dollar bill. That's a chief cornerstone. It is symbolic of Jesus. The pyramid has 13 layers. As a matter of fact, 13 is all over the back of a $1 bill. And the 13, as I said, represents Jesus and the 12, or God's Son and his 12 helpers.
So, do the Illuminati run the affairs of the world?
I think so. I would say so.
Let's backstep. What, as quickly as we can do this, what is a Freemason?
Well, Freemasonry is a very ancient fraternal order. And for thousands of years was made up of many different groups, which basically loosely fit into an association of builders. If you go back to the most ancient times in which men built with bricks, like the pyramid and all the ancient temples, they were brick builders. And consequently, even today, we refer to someone working with bricks as a brick mason. So the trade or the conceptual idea of building with bricks was affiliated, was a building trade. And so there were men who did nothing but build with bricks, and they were referred to as brick masons. And they came down through ancient history, and they began to jealously guard each other's work and not let any newcomers come in. They had like unions, so to speak. And we do the same thing today. And then, of course, later on in the year 1717, many occult orders and many of the building trade orders of Freemasonry builders came together in 1717 in London, England, and began what we call today's Freemasonry on the modern-day scale. Modern-day Freemasonry was started in 1717, but the idea goes all the way back to the first dynasties of Egypt.
What is the basic order? What is the...
Well, all right, now...
What is the occult basis?
Well, if you understand that the ancient Masons use bricks to build pyramids and to build their world with bricks... Today's Freemasonry says of itself that it is the modern-day builders of the world. So they not only build the buildings you live in and you do business in, they're building your structure of your world as Freemasons. They are building your religions, your political establishments, and all you have to do is go to the library and get reference books on flags, national coats of arms, symbols and emblems of different countries, different universal organizations. They're all Freemasonic symbols. And then interestingly enough, too, a lot of the graffiti that is being seen in the large cities of this country are Masonic symbols, and only high-degree Freemasons would know that. A lot of the black gangs, Mexican gangs, spraying graffiti around. A lot of that graffiti is very powerful Masonic symbolism, which leads me to wonder, where would these kids know those symbols?
So are you suggesting that they're studying?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm suggesting that there possibly is some connection between occult Freemasonry and the spread of violence and crime in our country. I think we had better look at some very, very uncomfortable but very positively important connections that can be made between crime in the streets and the elitist people who run this country, who are allowing it to happen for a reason. I think that crime in this country is being allowed for a purpose. And I think a lot of people may feel that way, but no one's publicly saying it.
We have covered a lot of information. It
yes.
probably gives us enough of a background to probably hit the most important concept of all. Where are we going? What's going to happen tomorrow? Why is this being orchestrated the way it is? You must have an idea or a vision of where this is going.
Yes, I think that for a long, long time, and I'm saying hundreds of years, that there has been a concerted effort to direct the world into a new world order, so to speak. A complete new civilization where human beings will no longer be the same kind of creatures that they were in the past. We're building, or at least we're being guided into a new, well, for lack of a better term, a new age. You hear that term quite a bit, new age. There is a new world order emerging. And what you're seeing, all the violence and the destruction we're seeing going on throughout the world, is destroying the old order in preparation for a new order. You cannot build a high-rise where you have an old shack. You have to tear it down before you can build the new. And that's what's going on throughout the world. We're having wars and bloodshed everywhere so we can destroy the power base of the good old boys in the different countries. We destroy their power base with wars, and then we set up our new world order.
Is this being done unconsciously, or is this actually being concerted somehow through the wishes of a higher spiritual order?
I tend to think that, but that's just my opinion. I think that there is a higher spiritual order, and that's just my opinion. But there are too many indications that that is true. There are too many things which are happening which offer no explanation but that there is someone very, very high up and extremely wise and perceptive as to how to make things happen to bring a certain conclusion. And I tend to believe that that is a spiritual. There is something spiritual to the things which are happening in our world today. But I think it also is using men. It uses people. And I am afraid for the future, because the one thing I am mostly afraid of, above all things, is the loss of individuality and the loss of an individual human freedom and liberty to think. Because once that is gone, that's the one thing that this country has offered that I am so very happy for, is that we have an opportunity to discuss things intelligently with each other and give each other an opportunity to be heard, because that's how we grow. And I think that that's being stifled. And I think more and more governmental powers from behind the scenes are quietly making sure that people don't talk too much about things which are, you know, which are controversial. And I think that human minds are being remolded, so we don't really think a whole lot anymore. We just go along to get along, and whatever the government says, we do, and whatever the church says, we do. Whatever authority says to do, we do. And I think that that is where the real problem is going to exist.
Let's come back then for a moment. Going back to the Vatican, going back to the 600s, for example.
Yeah.
The earth was regarded as being the center of the universe.
Right.
People were controlled by the church.
Mm-hmm.
They lived for the church.
Right.
The only hope that they had was that they would go to heaven and not hell.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else was basically business as usual. That worked for quite a while. It was a good power base. A lot of people were happy with that.
Yes.
It seemed to have become difficult to continue that once it was found out that the earth wasn't the center of the universe.
That's
the
right.
Church began to lose a lot of its credibility. It lost a lot of its power.
Mm-hmm.
Are you suggesting, perhaps, that someone is trying to regain that position again?
I think that they're trying to regain that same power and position, but not necessarily through the church, but through new secular means, because the people have been infected with this idea of freedom and liberty and individual rights to think. Consequently, the church is not going to operate well. Churches never operate well in an environment where people are allowed to be themselves and do their own thinking and call their own shots in their lives. Churches do not operate well.
So what would scare people then? I mean, after all, the thing that scared them then was the thought that they wouldn't go to heaven.
Yes.
What could be big enough to scare people now?
Total destruction, environmental collapse, world war, some terrible catastrophe coming, probably even aliens or whatever. I'm sure there's enough out there that some very brilliant people can come up with something to scare the life out of all of us, not to mention just nature itself is frightening me to death, volcanoes, etc. And I wonder how much of that is man-made. There's a lot of high technology going on in this world, too.
So the underlying agenda here has been control through fear.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's exactly right.
And so I guess if there's any message here, it's to rid yourself of fear.
Yes. That's exactly what I would say. Rid yourself of fear and educate yourself. Go to the library, get some books on occult history, and most people hearing the word occult think immediately of demons and the boogeyman.
I was going to say, isn't that an example of another way that people are being manipulated, because they're being told over and over again that there is something mysterious, there is something dark, there is something unnerving, that is something fearful about the occult.
Yes.
Everything else is okay.
Right.
Religion is fine, but the occult offers something that is very dangerous.
Absolutely. And the reason, and what is dangerous about it is knowledge. Once you understand what's going on, then you find out that some very crafty people have not told you what they're doing and how they're doing it. And they're working some real heavy-duty magic on you, and you are nothing more than a sitting duck because you don't understand the process. I'm not saying, when I use the word occult, I'm not talking about the boogeyman's going to get you and the devil and demons and all of that. I'm talking about the word occult means hidden. That's all it simply means, is hidden. So anything which is hidden is occult. And I'm talking about the hidden powers behind the throne, the hidden powers behind religion, the hidden innuendos in our everyday symbolism, showing us how to think. People find it very difficult. People especially who have taken the authority as truth find it very difficult to accept the truth as authority. And the bottom line is, no matter what you believe, there is a truth. There is a factual truth that can be ferreted out, but you have to look for it. And if you go along to get along, if you accept your government's view of everything, if you accept your particular religious persuasion's view of things, then you're no different than the Hindu and the Buddhist and the Muslims and all the other people that we condemn all over the world for being those silly radicals that follow their religious leaders without asking a question, and they end up being in wars and killing people without even questioning because they're doing it for the Lord. Well, in what way are we any different if we do the same? So all I'm saying is that what is important is to maintain your individuality as an intelligent human being and do your own thinking.
Bruce Stephen Holmes, Timeless Voyager Radio. My guest today has been Jordan Maxwell, author and lecturer of the ancient sciences and certainly this religio-political philosophy. I want to thank all of you for tuning in Timeless Voyager Radio today. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, and I hope that your own personal voyage through life towards the development of your highest potential is a joyous and successful one.